wanted to discuss the mitzvah v'hafta l'reacha kamocha. We know that this mitzvah is not just one of the 613 mitzvahs that we have, but we know that Rabbi Kiva's famous statement of ze klal gadol b'Torah, v'hafta l'reacha kamocha, is the klal gadol in the Torah. This is potentially the overarching theme of the Torah. We also know that the Gemara in Shabbos records a conversation between the potential convert. He approaches Hillel, and he says, teach me the Torah on one foot. Tell me what is really the essence of the Torah. Give me one liner for what the Torah represents. And he responds by saying, don't do to others that which you don't want done to yourself. Essentially, the idea, concept of v'hafta l'reacha kamocha, that one has to love their neighbor as themselves. So I'd like to discuss whether this is even possible to attain. We know that that same Rabbi Akiva, who says Zeh Klal Gadol b'Torah, in a different Gemara, when you have two people stranded in the desert, and there's only one bottle of water, so who gets to have that bottle? So says Rabbi Akiva, it's your bottle. It's your bottle, you get to keep it. You don't have to give it to your friend. But what happened to the principle of v'hafta l'reacha kamocha? You have to love your friend just as much as yourself. We're equal. Everyone's the same. I should have to share the bottle. I should give it to him. Why do I come first? We also find this tension in Pirkei Avos. In Pirkei Avos, we have the concept of im'in ani li mili. If I'm not to myself, then who am I? K'shini la'atzmi ma'ani. But if I am to myself, then what am I? So how do we deal with this tension? Is it even possible to love somebody else as much as yourself? In fact, psychologists tell us that if you were to love some stranger, even your friend, more than yourself, so then there's something wrong with you. Everyone loves themselves more than they love anybody else. It's normal to do that. It's natural to do that. You can love somebody else, but as much as yourself, kamocha, how is that even possible? And for all of Klal Yisrael, for me to love some random stranger as much as my own family, I'll take care of them and treat them the same way as much as my own family, how is that even possible to attain? So I'd like to go through the pasuk v'hafta l'recha kamocha, and go through the various earlier Rishonim, earlier commentators, and perhaps some of the Achronim, the later commentators, and we want to delve into this mitzvah to see what exactly is this mitzvah v'hafta l'recha kamocha. Do I really have to treat somebody else as much as myself? Equal, that everyone's equal partners. So let's go through this pasuk. You go to the top of page, the first source here on page 1, pasuk says, Lo sikon lo sitor es b'nei amecha, v'yahavta l'recha kamocha, ani Hashem. Towards the end of this shir, we're going to get to that perhaps the main focus here is not just the v'yahavta l'recha kamocha, but it's the last phrase, which is ignored, the ani Hashem. What is the ani Hashem doing here? Oftentimes, for mitzvos, you have it ending off with Ani Hashem, but oftentimes it doesn't. And you always have to ask, why specifically over here does it end off with Ani Hashem, I am your God, and not in other places? And so we'll get back to that at the end. Perhaps this is the key to understanding what's so great about V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. If anybody has questions in the middle, you're free to ask. So I'd like to divide up the pasuk into three parts. The V'yahavta, the love, the l'reacha kamocha, to your friend as much as yourself, and then finally, the last phrase of Ani Hashem. And we'll discuss each one separately. Ahava, love. What type of love are we referring to here? What love is this? Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch explains that we have Ahava elsewhere in the Torah. Where else do we have the concept of Ahava? Love, that you have to have an emotion. Hashem. We also have it by Gerim, but we also have it by Hashem. V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha, that one's supposed to love Hashem. And Rav Hirsch explains that the same intense love that one's supposed to have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the same type of love one's supposed to have for his friend, for any other Jew in the world. It's that same type of love. In fact, the Rambam sort of flips it. The Rambam discusses the love that one's supposed to have for Hashem, he describes it as though he compares it to someone that's lovesick for their girlfriend, that he's constantly thinking about his girlfriend, that he can't stop thinking about her, and so 24/7, so that same type of love, that's what that love one's supposed to have for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very intense love. And that furthers the question, how am I supposed to have that for somebody I don't even know? Somebody on the other side of the world, another Jew that's on the other side of the world, I'm supposed to love them as much as I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have to have this intense love. How is this possible? The Mesha Chachma, just an interesting pshat, so I wanted to bring it. The Mesha Chachma has a different explanation, an additional explanation as to what this Ahava is. He says opposites attract. You have to be different in order to have that attraction. I have to gain something from you. If you're the same thing as me, so then if we're exactly the same, so then I don't have anything to gain from you. It's only when someone's different, they have a different perspective, they have a different angle, they have what to give to you, so then you can really appreciate them and love them. So he says that the pasuk, when it says "V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha," it says I have to love somebody even if they're kamocha. They're just like you. To play on words. It's not love somebody as much as yourself, but love the person that's just like you. Even though you're not going to gain as much. But you have to love that person anyways. He's exactly like you. She's exactly like you. Doesn't make a difference. You have to love him. Why? Because this type of love is not about receiving. Opposites attract because they're different. You have what to gain from that. But this type of love is about giving without getting back. It's not that we let somebody cut us off in line because we think that in the future we're going to get that. Somebody else is going to help us out. But it's about giving for the sake of giving without getting anything back in return. It's that form of ahava. We have this intense ahava that our first is referring to where one's supposed to love them as one loves Hashem. And then we have this Mesha Chachma, which is explaining to us that this type of love is about giving for the sake of giving without receiving. So we have to ask, how is this really attainable?
What if you don't love yourself?
We're going to get to that. It's a good question.
It's a problem.
The Gemara discusses practically what exactly it means to v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. And when the Gemara discusses it, it doesn't really talk about it in terms of thought, in terms of the fact that one has to love, for God to demand of us to have certain emotions is somewhat of a difficult concept to understand. I understand that God could tell me to pick up a lulav, to sit in a sukkah, to put on tefillin, but to think a certain way, so that's a little difficult for us to understand. When the Gemara discusses v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, it's in terms of actions. In fact, one of the examples that's given for v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is that you can't get married until you first meet your potential wife. You can't get married without meeting her because of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. And in fact, one of the Rishonim explain that the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is really who's the reyacha. It's not referring to some stranger on the other side of the world. It's referring to the reyacha to your best friend, to your wife, to your spouse. And that's what v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is. Now, it's clear that the Gemara applies it to other cases besides for to your spouse. That's clear. So perhaps the idea is that there's different levels. There's a more intense ahava, love that one's supposed to have for more immediate, for a closer relationship, like one's wife, one's spouse. And then as we extend outwards to one's family, one's friends, to strangers, so then there's different levels. It's not that same amount of ahava that one has to one's wife, one has to have towards a stranger. And perhaps that's the explanation for that particular opinion. But I'd like to discuss other early commentators and how they take this mitzvah v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. And we're going to see that because of this struggle and this tension over the fact that how is it possible that I can love somebody else as much as myself? I'm supposed to love myself more than anybody else, that they really limit this mitzvah. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha does not go as far as we always think it is. It's more limited. So let's go through some of these sources. The Hadar Zakenim, one of the early commentators, the Balei Tosfos, Va'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, mai l'reicha halamid reicha. What should the pasuk say?
Es
reicha. What do we say by Hashem? V'ahavta es Hashem. One loves God. What's one loves to one's friend? What's to one's friend? L'reicha. So he says, Yishlomar, if it said love your friend, it would have meant what we've been saying until now. If it said v'hafta es reyacha, it would mean that if I have a house but my friend doesn't, so let him enter into my house. He should live with me. We should share the property. Everyone should share everything.
But that's not.
Like communism, yeah, exactly. Like communism. L'hachik siv l'reyacha. It says the lamed. It doesn't say love your friend. That's not what the pasuk means. The pasuk does not mean love your friend. It means love to your friend. To your friend. What does to your friend mean? Kolomar, ahev mashal reyacha. Kolomar shelo tigzolom amono, vimtuchal ahatzom amono hatileyo, visne misha rotze ligzolo. What's to your friend? That which belongs to your friend. Property rights. The pasuk is teaching us about property rights. That maintain what you have and what everyone has, that belongs to them. You shouldn't steal from people. You should hate those that do steal. You should have a justice system where criminals and people that take from others are punished. There's some sort of judicial system. That's what the pasuk is referring to. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. It's very much limited. It's not about loving your stranger and another Jew that you don't even know. It's not about that intense relationship. It's very much limited to just property rights. And it's this explanation, while on the one hand it solves the problem of the fact that how could I love somebody else as much as myself, on the other hand, we have to ask, how is this Zekla Gadda B'Torah? This is the principle that underlies what we believe in. This is the Torah. This is what Hillel is telling the convert, the potential convert. He's telling him that this is what we believe in, property rights. That's what we have to offer you. So on the one hand, it answers one question, but it still leaves another question. Rav Chaim Paltiel, another early commentator, gives a different explanation as to what the pasuk means. Ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, me'hacha darshinan bar lo misa yafa. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, what do we learn out from ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha? That when somebody is deserving of the death penalty, so make sure that it's not too bad. When you have such a wicked person that he's deserving of the death penalty, he's deserving of the death penalty, and you should give him the death penalty, but be a little easy on him. Bar lo misa yafa. It shouldn't be too harsh. So it's an interesting idea that v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is telling us that we have to love not just ourselves, our family, our friends, but even the wicked people, even the Rishayim. We still have to have some sort of ava for them. They're deserving. Actions lead to consequences. They're deserving of the death penalty, and they're wicked people. But still, they still have this nefesh of Yisrael, that this Jewish person, and so therefore we still have to have a certain degree of ahava.
How does kamocha fit in?
That's a great question. How does kamocha fit in? It's a great question. But he says, why is it referring to this case and this case only? He explains. And also Tosa says this on the spot there in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. V'yesh mefarshim diyalef midichsev v'hafta l'reicha kamocha. Im kein al korchach kai al misa. It must be referring to a case where a person's about to die. He's deserving of the death penalty. Why? Di'i al chayim, if it's referring to when a person's alive, that we have to love another person as much as yourself when they're alive. V'aksiv v'chaye achecha imach, she'at ikar v'hu tafel. This pasuk cannot be referring to when a person's alive. Because you come first. There's a pasuk which tells us that you come first. We have to care about another person. But to, as much as oneself, when a person's alive, how could that be? That cannot be. And because of this struggle, this tension of how could a person love somebody else as much as oneself when a person's alive, it must be referring to a case of death. When a person's on the death penalty, so you have to be a little easy on him. You have to give him, he's deserving of the death penalty, but bar lo misa yafa. Be gentle.
When misa is prescribed, skilis, reifa, heri, chenik, it's not discretionary, and it doesn't mean it's a misa yafa, because...
It's not a misa yafa, but there's different degrees within srefa.
Last meal.
What degree?
Good last meal.
Good meal.
Good meal.
Well, it should be fast.
I'm not sure exactly what the details would mean with regards to this, how this would play out. But the idea behind it is that even though they're wicked, the idea behind it is a message behind it, which is that no matter how far a Jew goes, however far off they go, however much of Russia they are, they still have this... This idea of being, they're still Jewish, and therefore we still have to. Exactly.
The gargoyle by Torah is that we should take it easy on murderers.
Exactly. So that's the other big question. How does this explain Zekla Gadol B'Torah? What kind of idea is this? That we should be easy on murderers? Zekla Gadol B'Torah? This is what the Torah has to offer?
That's only part of it. That's only part of it. In other words, showing a person, showing kindness to somebody who deserves a death penalty, that's only part of it. In other words, you wouldn't want it to. How would you want somebody to treat you? So, same way, just like the death.
Yeah,
But it's saying specifically not in terms of life. So I think the idea is similar to what you're saying. I think it's similar to what you're saying. The kamocha as much as yourself, only applies to death. Meaning, just like if you were in that state, you'd want them to go easy on you. So in terms of as much as yourself, that's when they're deserving of death. But in terms of loving, the message behind it, that you have to love another person, so then that might not be as much as yourself, but that applies even during a person's life. That you have to love them, even when they're alive, as much as yourself might only apply at a point of death, because a person loves themselves more than anybody else. But the idea behind it, the message behind it, is that you have to love them because they're Jewish, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them, and that's why you have to love them.
I think you're developing an argument for doing away with the death penalty. That's what you're really doing.
No, I'm not saying that.
That's what he's doing.
No, I don't, he's not saying that. He's saying Barlo Misa Yafa. He's deserving the death penalty, but it should be a Misa Yafa.
They don't want him to be tortured.
Not too much.
But some of the death penalties are not smooth.
I'm not going to disagree.
That's in America. Not according to halacha.
No, according to halacha, some of them are not. It's not very easy, even for halacha. So we gave two explanations from the early commentators from the Rishonim that very much limit. Yeah.
How could they give these interpretations? They really make no sense.
Well, I think that the struggle that they're dealing with is the struggle that we started off with. That how could the literal meaning of the pasuk is that you have to love somebody as much as yourself? Do you love anybody as much as yourself?
No, but also.
So the question is. So the
explain the sentence to me.
So the question is, what is the case? Give me a case where you can love somebody as much as yourself.
What was wrong?
There's one case. Bar lo misa yafa. There's one case. To love another person, but not as much as yourself, okay, fine. So then that you can handle. So in terms of when a person's alive, in terms of life, you should love another person. A child, but what about l'reyacha? I'm not talking about l'reyacha is any Jew, that even somebody you don't know. So it's true. There could be cases where you love somebody else as much as yourself. But to apply it throughout Klal Yisrael, so that's difficult. And that's against halacha also. It's also against halacha.
But he'll say it makes sense.
Yeah. What was Hillel's interpretation?
Don't do to other people what you don't want them to do to you. That makes sense. Yeah. That you can certainly
live. So that is true. That is true. So for Hillel has a different explanation. Even within Hillel, the Zeh Klal Gadol b'Torah is still a little bit limited, because it's saying in terms of actions, don't do others that which you don't want to do yourself. But it's not in terms of thought.
Statement.
I agree.
Things would be a lot better if people wouldn't do it to other people, and you don't want them to do to you. But these explanations make.
But that still doesn't make it kamocha to the with regards to everything. So he says with regards to everything of death, it's kamocha, but not with regards to life.
Up until that point, at least, what you can do.
Exactly. That's what it's saying. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But that's also in tune with what Hillel said. He said, if you want to, is not something which you would want to be treated, how you want to be treated.
Don't do the others.
So it has to do with life and death. Because even in life,
So for Hillel, you're right. Hillel's explanation
is very nice.
Does help. And it does, is very nice. Yeah. We're going to get to more explanations that lead towards Hillel.
Let's take this. He was saying, talking to a Gentile who wanted to become Jewish.
Correct.
Because, so the Gentile wouldn't have understood the Abraham.
Well, he could explain the concept. You can still explain the concept.
Yeah, but he wouldn't even understand. So he said, just don't do for others what you wouldn't want to be done to you. But for a Jew, you could say something different.
Perhaps. Yes.
And one more thing, if I may say.
Somebody
goes in the desert.
Correct.
They have only
one bottle of water.
So you don't have to share it in both of them. You should die.
Right.
Correct.
You serve, and at least one will go there.
Correct.
Correct. You know, remain because the other way they would both.
Yeah, but maybe if it's kamocha, so then why am I deserving the bala as opposed to him? Why should I live as opposed to him?
This question is then you know then you're going to you know
both die.
Both die.
No, yeah. let him have it. Why do I have to have it?
But you like it more than
maybe
yourself.
Maybe that if you want to be a very nice person.
No, but the halacha is not that way. No, you keep it. You keep the bottle. We say, no, you shouldn't give it.
That's what Bakiva said. Right? You shouldn't.
Yeah, so even though the Kantu the Kamocha should say that, why am I deserving of it? I should give it to him.
It's about Peliptis with Takas, that you should give it for, you know, you should share it in both
You share it in both
No, I had nothing about sharing it. He should have it entirely. Yeah, you had a question. Let's take two more questions and then we'll go on.
There are different forms of love.
That's right.
There's physical love, mental love, religious love, social love. What are we talking about?
So that's a very good question. So up to now what we've been discussing is just in terms of actions. It's not even in terms of emotions. It's purely in terms of actions. That Barlo Misi Yafa, you should treat him a certain way. In terms of marriage, we said that you have to meet your wife first. That's also in terms of just actions. You have to actually meet them. Exactly what Hillel told the convert was all just purely about actions. It wasn't even about thought or emotions. Nothing to do with thought or emotions. It was just don't do to others in terms of actions that you wouldn't want done to yourself. And I think we're going to get to other commentators who explain that it's about thought and emotions. But up to now, we're just discussing actions. And part of that, the reason why they're discussing actions only, is because it's very difficult for Hashem to demand upon ourselves to think a certain way. That we have to have certain emotions. I don't like the person. How am I supposed to love him? But to treat him a certain way, okay, fine, that the Torah could command of you. But to force yourself to think a certain way, that's difficult. But we'll see that there are those that even say that the Torah tells of us to think a certain way. Last question, then we'll go on.
Wouldn't it be a beautiful world if the Orthodox would love the conservatives? And the conservatives would love the Orthodox?
We do have to love them.
In practice,
we disagree with them, but we still love them.
It doesn't work out.
I don't know. I think everyone in this room should take upon themselves to love all conservative Jews, even though we disagree with them. One by one, we'll be able to.
If it did work out, we would have the conservatives in the shul tonight listening to you.
Well, if they would come, we wouldn't throw them out.
They would come.
Anyway,
they would be invited.
You said before you can't command somebody's emotions. How about lotach mode?
Okay, so that's a great question. So this basic question, I think you could command emotions, but according to these explanations, it's difficult for them, so therefore they're limiting it. We'll see that there are those that say even with regards to Ava. With regards to Los Achmod, it's a separate discussion, but it's an important discussion in terms of Los Achmod. Okay, yeah, the Ibn Ezra has a great shot in that. Yes. The Ramban is our next source. The Ramban here is now going to extend the concept of Yahav Telerecha Kamocha. Until now, we've seen explanations which are very much limited. It's only referring to at the time of a death penalty, or it's only referring to belongings, it's about property rights. Comes the Ramban and explains as follows. V'tam ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha, haflaga. He also admits that it's an exaggeration. It can't be taken literally. Turning the page. Ki lo yikab leiv adam she'ahav es chavero ka'avasu es nafsho. It's impossible, like we've been saying until now. It's impossible to love somebody else as much as yourself. It's impossible. V'od. Furthermore, Shikvar bar Rabbi Akiva, v'limeid, chayecha komin l'chayecha vercha. Besides the fact that it's impossible, and it's not normal, the halacha mandates that you're supposed to love yourself before another person. So what does it mean? Ela mitzvos ha-Torah, she'yehoiv chaveiro b'chol inyan, kasher yehoiv es nafsho b'chol atov. It means that you should wish upon your friend, upon your neighbor, the same benefits, the same brachos that you wish upon yourself. So now we've left the area of action, of just purely action, of ahava referring to action and not thought, and we have now entered into the area of thought. And the Ramban is telling us that v'yahavta l'recha kamocha is in thought, that you should wish upon another person, every single other Jew, that whatever you want, the same brachas that you want, they should also have. And the Ramban explains that we wish that we have everything. We want a good family, we want enough money to live, we want chachma. There are a lot of brachas that there are in the world. And sometimes when we think about different people, says the Ramban, I only quoted a part of it, we wish they have only that particular bracha, but not other brachos. And that person should be smart, but to wish upon him everything, so maybe not, and that person should have a good family, another person should do well materialistically. But in order to think of everything, that all the brachas that I want for myself, so the mitzvah is that I wish that somebody else should have all the brachas that I want for myself. That's what this mitzvah is about. And so even though it's difficult to attain, this is a struggle in which in a person's emotions and thought, that a person has to change the way they think, which is more difficult than the way a person acts, still the Ramban says that this is what this mitzvah is. I was once in correspondence with a certain rabbi, and he would always end off his email. We were in email contact, wishing you every bracha. That's how most people just say kol tov or have a good day. So he ended off by saying wishing you every bracha. Every bracha you should have. So that's a fulfillment of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. As he ends off, he says you should have everything you need, you should have. So that's what this mitzvah is about. So that's l'reicha kamocha. We've dealt with the l'reicha kamocha. We discussed the ahava, what exactly is this ahava, and we explained that Rav Hirsch explains that this ahava is that same intense love that one has to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're supposed to have that to every other Jew. We quoted the Meshech Chachma, who explains that ahava is an ahava of giving and not receiving. And then we had these various explanations as to what exactly is this mitzvah, l'reicha kamocha, as much as yourself. Is it very much limited? Or do we expand it beyond just various specific cases? And that's what the Ramban is saying here. It's more than just specific actions, but it's really about a certain thought process. And really, it's transforming how you view yourself and how you view others. It's about your relationships and about caring about other people. Finally, I would like to get to the last phrase of this pasuk, Ani Hashem. So why do we have the pasuk of Ani Hashem? This last part of the pasuk of Ani Hashem. So this is going to go back. We're going to give three different explanations. The first explanation is going to go back to what you said. What's your name?
Sandy Dresden.
Okay, it's Sandy. Based on what you said, about the fact that before you love somebody else, you first have to love yourself and appreciate yourself. Chaim Chav Tiel, we quoted him earlier. He says as follows: Isa b'sefri kol gadol b'Torah, v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. Rabbi Akiva says, what's the Kol Gadol b'Torah? B'Torah v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. Gadol mimenu ki b'tzelem Elokim asa ha'adam. This is a quote from the Sefri. The Parish of Yaakov Merlins. What's this Kol Gadol? The Zeh Kol Gadol da'amar da'alecha snei l'chavercha lo savet. That which you don't like, you don't want to be done to yourself, don't do to another. Mihu im adam achzari. If a person is wicked, v'eino chashal atzmo. He doesn't care about himself. Hu hadin lo yirachim al achirim. If a person doesn't appreciate his own life and the value that he has, so then he won't have any rachamim, he won't have any mercy towards others. Ki hechidim chava ba'atzmo, pater hu hadin shi chava b'chavero. Just like he thinks that he could wound himself, his life doesn't matter, so then another person's life also doesn't matter. We're equal. Oim hu muvazes atzmo, if he embarrasses himself, hu hadin chaveros, then I can embarrass another person. Because just like my life is meaningless, so too another person's life is meaningless. Lahachi namar, ki b'tzelem Elokim asa ha'adam. I think what he's explaining is the end of the pasuk of Ani Hashem is telling us, b'tzelem Elokim asa ha'adam, that we come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since we come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our life has meaning, and we have value. We should appreciate what we do and the fact that we're living in this world. And once we have that understanding, that message of Ani Hashem, then you could properly fulfill the V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha, about caring about other people. You need to have that Ani Hashem in order to fulfill V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. So I'd like to give two other explanations as to what this Ani Hashem is doing in the pasuk. The first explanation we gave was that the Ani Hashem is coming to explain the V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. In order to fulfill V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha, you have to have that concept of Ani Hashem, that there's a command in the world, there's a ruler in the world, you were created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore your life is full of meaning. Once you have that understanding, then you can go ahead and fulfill V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. You can treat another person with respect. I'd like to give two other explanations of Ani Hashem. The Kli Yakar explains, what's the Zeh Kol Gadol b'Torah? Why is this so important, V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha? And he says it's not just about V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha, but it's also about the Ani Hashem. V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha represents bein adam l'chaveiro, how we treat another person. Ani Hashem represents bein adam l'makom. And so when Rabbi Kiva says, Zeh Klal Gadol b'Torah, it's talking about, this is the entire Torah. What does the Torah represent? It's about the different relationships that we have. We have relationships between man and his friend, and then we have relationships between man and God. And that's what the Torah means. That's what the Torah represents. In fact, if you look at the Gemara in Shabbos, where Hillel is talking to that potential convert, so Rashi on the place, on that place, where it discusses of Yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, Rashi there explains, who is L'Reacha? He says L'Reacha has two meanings. One is Reacha to another person, and another Reacha, he quotes from Tanakh, Reacha refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yahavta L'Reacha is also referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so this is what the Kli Yakar explains, this is the Zeh Klal Gadol b'Torah. It's not just about the Bein Adam L'Chavero, but it's also about the Bein Adam L'Makom. So we have two explanations now for what this Pasuk means with the Ani Hashem. We have the Ani Hashem reflecting back on the V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. You need that Ani Hashem, you need to have a sense of value, a sense of self, to appreciate yourself, to fulfill V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. The Kli Yakar explains now that it's really two independent statements. V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, for Bein Adam L'Chavero, Ani Hashem, for Bein Adam L'Makom, and that's what the Zeh Klal Gadol b'Torah is. The two of them combined. I'd like to give a third explanation where the V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha now is necessary for the Ani Hashem. The V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha is about Bein Adam L'Chavero, like what the Kli Yakar said. And the Ani Hashem is referring to Bein Adam L'Makom, about your relationship with God. But the V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha comes first. Because in order to have a serious and meaningful relationship with God, you first have to understand the concept of V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. You have to understand that the world is not just about yourself. It's not just purely about your ego. However, whatever explanation you give for what V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha is, as we explained before, whether it's limited or it's expanded, the message behind every single explanation is that there's more to life than just yourself. V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha is about caring about other people. And once we have that understanding that life is more than just about yourself, so then you'll be able to have a meaningful relationship with Hashem. You'll be able to understand that there's more to life than yourself. You can develop that relationship with Hashem. That's the whole idea of Sfiras HaOmer, that the Avelus by Sfiras HaOmer, before Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah is our conversion. By our conversion, we had the same idea as with the convert by Hillel. What does Hillel tell the convert? Before you can join into relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have to understand the message of V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, about appreciating others. By Sfiras HaOmer, we have the mourning because of all the students were killed because Lo Nogu Kavod Zeh L'Zeh. It's not by coincidence that that time period is right before Kabbalah Satorah, before we receive the Torah. Because we have to take that message and understand that message before we could actually receive the Torah. In fact, where's the only time in the Midbar that Klal Yisrael had that Kavod? Vayichon Sham Keneged Ahar. Rashi explains, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. That was the only time. Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, it was a prerequisite. It wasn't by chance that it happened to be that they were united right as they were standing in front of Har Sinai. But it's necessary. In order for you to have that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so you have to have that understanding, V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, you have to have that understanding that there's more to life than just yourself. And so that's also with the convert. The same conversion process that we had by Har Sinai, where we became the Jewish people for Hashem, where we received the Torah, that same conversion process is what happened with Hillel. Because by Hillel, that's what he's telling the convert. If you want to enter into Judaism, so then you have to have that understanding of Vayichan Sham Keneged Ahar, about V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, that we care about other people. So we have these three different explanations of V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha Ani Hashem, and this is the Zeh Klal Gadol b'Torah. Is the Ani Hashem explaining what the V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha is? You need that Ani Hashem, that sense of self, in order to properly fulfill V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. Are these two statements, as the Kli Yakar explains, Bein Adam L'Chaver, represented by V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, and then Bein Adam L'Makom, as represented by Ani Hashem, and that's the Zeh Klal Gadol b'Torah. And finally, our last explanation is saying that V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha is necessary in order to fulfill the Ani Hashem. You need to have that sense of beyond yourself, that life is more meaningful than just your life is meaningful because you care about others, because you care beyond yourself, so then you'll be able to develop a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
I see the Ani Hashem as enabling us to fulfill V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, because when we say Ani Hashem, we're talking Midas HaRachamim. So it's really saying, cut your neighbor some slack. Don't look up close, basically that way. In other words, don't be so judgmental. If it's the and just the way the Rabbanish letter deals with us. So, you know, I see it
reflecting as reflecting back on the Behavzorach HaKamocha.
Exactly.
Like, similar to the first explanation, but that it's reflecting back, but based on the mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu Rachum, Ma'afata Rachum, based on that. Interesting explanation. Yeah.
The only thing is that the having Ani Hashem at the end of the pasuk, this is something which is throughout the Torah. You see this
correct.
Many, many times.
Correct.
It doesn't always fit in with this explanation.
No, it doesn't fit within this explanation. I don't think it has to. The point is that at every single point in time, you have to ask the question, what is this doing here? And you have to have an answer.
I understand. It would have been more, it would have made more sense to me had it written, like, Kibbet Selam or Kibbet Nivraha Adam. So we know that a person is created in Hashem's image. So therefore, even if a person is angry, has an inner anger about himself, at least he won't take it out on somebody else because it's a tzelem elokim.
Yeah, I hear that. Perhaps the reason why it doesn't say that is because the Torah has different layers of meaning, and if it said that, so then it wouldn't be able to imply the other explanations that we have. And so just because we have multiple explanations,
Hashem is something which is very generic. It's used.
Yeah, so perhaps the reason behind that is because there's different layers of meaning. If I had it very specific, so then it would only mean that one thing. Once we have Ani Hashem, so then it could have multiple layers of meaning. The Medrash, the Sifri, quotes the concept of Kibbutz Elokim Sa'adam with regards to this pasuk. So
okay,
they're sort of putting it in. They're sort of
that's how they're explaining.
Yeah, that's yes. They're putting it, the Sifri is putting it in.
It's also supposed to be after Hashem Elokecha, to love God. Now, actually, the title of this lecture was supposed to be, I think, about loving God. But all of these explanations about loving your friend, the word v'ahavta has no application when it comes to v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha.
Well, in terms of v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, is how you come to love God is a whole separate discussion.
Yeah, it is, but the
but also,
there are parallels
used in both cases. You'd think
There are certain parallels. The difficulty, like the Rambam says, that he describes the love that one's supposed to have to God, as I was saying earlier, equivalent to the love one has to his girlfriend, where he's constantly thinking about him and completely devoted to her, and it's like a 24/7 experience. So he says that's what we're supposed to be having in terms of Yahavta Hashem Elokecha. It's parallel, but it's clearly different because...
Okay, but all the other explanations just don't apply.
Yeah, but it's also different because Hashem is not somebody that we see and that we interact with in a tangible way. So the way we get to that love is different. There are different explanations as to what the love of Hashem is. The Sifri says the way we love God is through learning His wisdom, through learning His Torah. That's how we get to understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam says it's by looking out at the world and understanding the world and the knowledge of the world, that's how one gets to love God. So it's different because it's not something which is tangible, not something that we see and interact with. So it's going to be different. There are going to be certain parallels, but it's also going to be different because it's just it's a different concept. Finally, I would like to close with the Rambam. And I think the Rambam takes this concept of Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha to the fullest degree. We had at the beginning, we had two different explanations which limited the concept of Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha. Then we have the Ramban, who explained that it's not just about action, but it's really about your thought. You have to wish everyone bracha, and that they should get whatever you want, they should also get, in terms of thought. Finally, the Rambam here, he has this in a few places, the quoted one here, the Rambam says, Mitzvah kol adam, this is the last source here, Lehov es kol echad ve'echad mi'ishal kegufa. There's a mitzvah to love every single Jew as himself. Shenemar v'hatal recha kamocha. So what does this mean practically? Lefichach, tzarech l'saper b'shvacho, you have to speak of praise to another person about another person. V'lochos amamono, be careful with his money. Kasher uchas amamon atzmo, just like he's careful with his own money. V'rote b'chvod atzmo, and desires his own honor. You have to honor another person. V'amiskabe b'kilon chavero, one who puts down another person, ein lo chilek l'olam haba, he doesn't have a portion in the world to come. He says, one second, he says that the concept of v'yachter rechek mocha, it's not just about wishing another person a bracha, like what the Ramban says. But he says it's really a transformative experience, that when I go into a relationship, when I go to interact with another person, the focus is on the other person. It's about praising the other person. It's not about putting them down. If you put them down, you don't get a portion of the world to come. Whenever one interacts, every single interaction we have, do we go into that interaction for ourselves, or do we go into that interaction to help that other person? transformative experience, the concept of Yahavta Recha Kmocha, to change our mindset about what is our relationships, what do they mean? Is it for us? Is it for the other person? It's also for us, but it's also for the other person. It's about going out there to interact with other people, to praise them, not to put them down, and to give them honor.
I just want to ask you, I'm going by a lottery. You go by a lottery. I'm going to wish that I win. I'm not going to wish that you should win.
You're going to wish that you win the first time and he'll win the second time. There's enough money in the world to go around. We can spread the wealth. There's enough money to go around. Anyway, so I'd just like to conclude that we started off with the attention that we had of that how could one love another person as much as oneself? I love myself more than I love anybody else. And we gave different explanations. Is it limited? Do we limit it to just actions and not thought? To very specific actions, maybe to only to death and not to life. And then we explained how some of the commentators, the Ramban and the Rambam, they really extend it to a person's thought. It's true in terms of actions, it's not as much as oneself. You come first. If you're in a desert, you get that bottle of water if it's yours. But in terms of thought, you should wish upon them bracha. And as the Rambam says, that it's really an experience of praising another person, giving another person value, that you're supposed to make sure that they have that sense of value of their own lives, being mechabed another person, and that's really what V'hafta L'Recha Kamocha is about. Thank you very much.